Let's pray. With faith, we come asking for your Spirit to be upon us, and we come seeking your wisdom to come to us from above. We thank you for those who've brought insights to us, and we pray your Spirit will continue to enlarge our hearts in this whole matter of faith. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. One of the clues to understanding our passage today, when the apostles asked for their faith to be increased, is that the first few verses leading into that, and it's where Jesus says to the disciples that occasions for stumbling are bound to come along. It's part of how things happen in human life. But woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone, that's the great big heavy one that was used in the grain processing, if that were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea, than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So he's wanting them to tremble a little bit about the importance of their ministry and how that should work out. He says, be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. So keep one another honest in there and together in what they're understanding. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. So it's in that context that the disciples think, crikey, that's pretty hard. And so they say, increase our faith. They're thinking, I don't really operate that way. I give people one or two goes and after that, finish. Don't muck around with us, you know. And that's the end of it. But Jesus is saying to them, no, you actually need to learn to extend more grace and kindness to people so that you actually do forgive one another. And this is an important aspect. So they're thinking they need more faith. But Jesus is now explaining to them that, no, actually what they need is faith, the faith that understands the gospel, understands what he's about, and the faith that is operative. So he said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, tiny little bit of it, they're wanting increased faith. And he said, no, if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Apparently the rabbis said a mulberry tree, the roots would last in the soil 600 years. So to uproot it, it's going to be a pretty difficult job, like getting an oleander tree out or something like that, you know, hard work. So, but if you had faith, just this tiny little bit, that big problem, you could deal with it. And then he gives them another example. It's in the form of a parable. He says, who among you would say to your slave who's just come in from ploughing and tending the sheep in the field, come here at once, sit and take your place at the table? That's not culturally what you would do. He said, would you not rather say to him, prepare my supper, put on your apron and get ready and so on, serve me while I eat and drink, and later you may eat and drink. They're going, yep, that's the pattern. That's what masters do. The servant comes in and gets everything ready. The master sits down and eat. He says, and then, do you thank the slave for doing what he was commanded? No. No brownie points. That's his job. He just does what he's expected. So he says, so also, when you've done all that you were ordered to do, just say, we're worthless slaves. We've only done what we ought to have done. So he's teaching them, just when you become like him as disciples, when you start to function by forgiving people and living in that true way, don't look for a blue ribbon for doing it. Don't look for brownie points to say, hey, look at me. Just go, no, that's the way it should be done. And of course, Jesus is sowing these things into their hearts, many of which they find almost impossible. That's why they say, increase our faith. Numbers of times the teaching seems to be so difficult. And one of the clues to that is that following Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples have a great, great understanding of what he's been on about. And one of those things that they see and they know is that he comes to them in their total failure. They couldn't keep their eyes open. They fell asleep when he was suffering. They all forsook him and fled. Peter promised he'd stick by him and he never did. All of that failure, he comes among them and says to them, peace be with you. So he is giving them then, in the light of total failure, a total loss of everything, in his death, and it's all over for them as far as they can see. But then shining forth from his resurrection power, wonderful things happen. He gives them the Spirit. They now understand and they start to function in this new way with faith. One of the interesting aspects about faith is that it's a gift, and you might remember that when you first came to faith, how did it happen? Well, it wasn't that you tried really hard and elevated yourself to have faith. It's that something strange and mysterious took place whereby you wholly trusted God. Something took place whereby in our conversion sometimes tears flow. Sometimes it's just a growing up thing from being little and learning. But some point or some time you actually come to it, you're deeply moved and you realise faith is this gift. In Ephesians, Paul writes and he reminds people, he said, all of us who once lived among the human race, the Gentiles and so on, following the desires of flesh and senses, were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. We felt that opposition. But God, who was rich in mercy out of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, right? The headline is by grace you've been saved. Through faith is the way that you've come into that. By grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. God has gifted you. He's made you altogether different. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he's made us, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Now, the thing we'll see in a moment, I hope, is that faith is the instrument through which we receive the grace of God. The grace of God is the headline of the gospel, and faith is that instrument by which we receive it. But there is another element, and we'll be seeing over the next few weeks quite a few elements to this matter of faith. And one of the perhaps most interesting we probably find is that Paul says that the church, when people are gifted and enabled to follow him, that they're given gifts. And you would all, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where I want, where Paul says, that the Spirit, for the common good, gifts the whole church in various ways. And this is one of them. To one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. Some people can just be able to say that wise word. And to another, the utterance of knowledge. Someone gives an insight, you say, oh, I never knew it, never understood it like that. According to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. So this gift of faith, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Sometimes a person is given a gift of healing, and that is as they pray for someone, they get well. Perhaps happens more in African countries than here in our Western world, where we have access to good medicine, but still happens here. And someone prays and they've just been given a gift of healing. But interestingly here, to another, the gift of faith. So there is a faith, if you like, faith that has a kind of a greater expectation, faith that says, no, I think this will work out all right. Sometimes you see it when little churches are kind of making a decision and they think, oh, we haven't really got the finances to do this or something or other, and someone will stand up and say, well, I'm believing we should have faith for this. And they stand up in a kind of a word of faith and they say, no, I believe this will work out. We should go for it and do it. And that actually strengthens the whole body of Christ where someone has that gift of faith. But the prime action of faith is where we believe the gospel. And that is the instrument through which we receive it. Paul says in Romans 5, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, it's not our faith that justifies us. It's the faith that we receive God's grace. We receive his word. He said, you be at peace. He said, there's no condemnation for you. And you believe that. You had faith. You received that word. Have you received God's word of grace to you? Yes? Do you believe there's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus? That you are justified. You are wholly at peace in being yourself before God. Well, faith receives that. Says, oh, I actually believe that. That's what I believe. Over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at perhaps a whole lot of aspects of that. One of those is we find in Hebrews, and I'm just sort of pointing ahead in this a little bit. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have what some have called a definition of faith, but it's really a kind of one component of faith. By faith, we believe that the world was created by the Word of God. So it's not by proof, it's not by anything, but it's by trusting that word that God has spoken, that's been written down, that in the beginning God created the world, and he did that in that manner. The other thing that Hebrews 11 also says is by faith, and it lists in a whole lot of things that happened to the people of God through faith. Let me just find it there. By faith, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is you actually have a confidence and assurance that the very things you hope for, they're not here yet. Christ's renewal of creation is part of that which you hope for. The conviction that's not seen to your eyes, that's not what you see at all. But faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So I hope we're starting to see that faith is a wonderful thing. And Jesus is leading his people. He's teaching them what it means to have faith. And of course, when they've had faith and finally come to that point of having faith, he said, don't give yourself a pat on the back. Just say, no, you're the master, and we've done what we should have done, is we've had faith. One of the lovely examples of what Jesus was talking about occurred in the news I heard just these past few days, and you may have read the story or seen it on television yourself. But Jesus said, you know, when someone sins against you, forgive them, you know, up to seven times in this day. There was a young police officer. Her name was Amber Geiger. She was 31 years of age. She was a police officer in the United States. And she was called to a job. She believed that the person she thought was an intruder, that she was endangered by that person. So as she entered this flat, she pulled out her gun and she shot this man twice. Bang, bang. It was following on from a series of other events where police had killed people, and it was generally white police and black-skinned men who were killed at the hands of police. So a lot of furor arose about all this matter. Anyway, the case went to court, and when this policewoman went to court, she was convicted. The mostly black jury of 8 women and 4 men took less than 6 hours to convict her of murder. And they asked her, "Did you mean to shoot this person?" She said, "Yes, I did." And the person, of course, turned out to be innocent. And so she was found guilty of murder. She could have been sentenced to life imprisonment, but they decided to give her 10 years instead, which meant she'd be eligible for parole in 5 years. Well, all that took place in the courtroom. When that was handed down, the brother, 18-year-old Brant, asked the judge if he could approach the policewoman who has been convicted and give her a hug. Well, he walked across the courtroom and embraced her for around about 1 minute. And she's only a teenager, 18 years of age, but she said, he said to the policewoman, "If you're truly sorry, I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he'll forgive you. I'm speaking for myself, not my family, but I love you just like anyone else. I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did. I want the best for you. I don't even want you to go to jail." When that had occurred, the judge, Tammy Kemp, arose, and Tammy went back out into the chambers, and she came out with the Bible, and she too hugged the policewoman who'd killed this person and said to her, "You just need a tiny mustard seed of faith. Here, you can start with this," and presented her with the Bible. Well, that the incident was sort of, the video of it was taken and shown in the Dallas West Church of Christ, where that young man who was murdered attends, and the whole congregation applauded and cried out and said, "Amen." Out of that one incident, reconciliation begins to flow in America, in a land where still the matters of racism haven't been overcome, but this is like a huge, you know, rock in a pond. The ripples will go out and people will see, they're deeply moved for it. The mayor of Dallas, Eric Johnson, said, "I will never, ever forget the incredible examples of love, faith and strength personified by this particular person, Brant, and the whole family, and also the judge at that point." Deeply moving. This is the sort of thing that Jesus is calling us to for the transformation of the world. Forgiveness and love, which works out. Incidentally, it wasn't the only thing that happened. The mother of this young, or this man who was shot, she stood up and she also said, "I'd like to add that I hope that the same sort of grace is extended when mistakes and errors are made. This is not just applauding and extending grace to a person who's a white police officer. We hope the same thing will happen through our community as well." And so this is someone working towards a just and a fairer outcome in the community and a better understanding. That is what Jesus is about. That is why we talk about his grace. That is why we receive through faith the forgiveness which comes to us, because it has a very practical outworking when we know what that means. I think my message for today is a roundabout wrapped up. What I will continue to do is to remind us that the faith that we have is a gift from God. In fact, it's really the sort of faith that Jesus himself has as he trusts through the crucifixion or through the Garden of Gethsemane, as he trusts the Father through being crucified. He himself gives us that faith so that Paul can say, "I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live now just out of my own resources. I live now by faith," and it can be translated there, "the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live through the faith, the sort of faith that Jesus gives to me." How about that? Yeah? And so we have our faith in Jesus' faithfulness. We draw upon his grace, and it's that sort of faith. Sometimes it is needing to be strengthened. Sometimes we need to actually to have more faith. And other times we, as Jesus said, are just a grain of mustard seed, that faith that obeys and says, "I believe the gospel, and against my feelings and other things, I'm going to seek to live that out as best I can." May the Lord add his blessing to the word today and point us to renewed faith. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, when we come to faith, we realise that so often we can be like the apostles, like Peter, and promise that we'll do this or that, but so often we fail. We thank you that it is your great faith, your faithfulness to us, that carries us and strengthens us, that brings forgiveness to us 7 times a day. And so, Lord, we turn again to you, and we pray that we might be filled with the faith that believes your gospel, the faith that lives out of that truth, and the faith that stirs our hearts to seek a new way. Lord, for whatever situation anyone's going through here today, I pray that you would bless them with faith and trust, that you would, where they need that, strengthen their faith, and that they would find in trusting you, your goodness is revealed, and they find and believe and know even more how kind and gracious you are to us. Lord, for those who are sort of needing some miracle, we remember many people came to you seeking for amazing things to happen. We pray that you would continue to grant your mercies, amazing mercies, to your people, and also, Lord, to those whom we pray for and minister to, that healing might come and that your goodness will be revealed in many people's lives. Lord, hear our prayer today as we make it in faith in the name of Jesus, our sovereign Lord. Amen.